Why your tennis game has multiple personality disorder, and how to cure it before Tuesday's doubles. Recreational tennis on longboat key is not actually a sport. It is, according to a study I just invented, approximately 8 different sports played simultaneously by people who have not bothered to inform each other which sport is currently in session. You arrive at the courts at 10 a.m. expecting tennis. What you get is a doubles match in which your opponent across the net is a hard hitter who appears to have replaced his right arm with a leaf blower, while his partner is an 84-year-old gentleman named Walter, who has taken 11,000 lessons and now hits a backhand slice so vicious and slow that the ball actually stops over the net, considers its options, files a brief tax return, and then trickles onto your side of the court while you stand at the baseline screaming at your feet, which have unionized and refused to move. This is the central tragedy of why the pros don't have this problem, and it's annoying. On television, Sinner and Alcaraz hit balls at one another that travel at roughly the speed of light, generating about the same amount of pace. There is rhythm. There is calibration. There is flow. This is because they are professionals, which is the technical term for people who do not have to play their dermatologist on Wednesday. In recreational tennis, you may face a 45-year-old ex-college player ripping 80-mile-per-hour topspin in Game 1, followed in Game 2 by a charming retired orthodontist whose forehand travels at the velocity of a slowly deflating birthday balloon. Your brain, which is busy thinking about lunch, cannot recalibrate this fast. Your brain was not designed for this. Your brain wants to lie down. Meet the Slice and Dicers. The Slice and Dice player is a longboat institution. He or she has taken so many lessons that the local pro now drives a boat. They cut, they dink. They use angles invented by 14th-century geometricians. They take pace off, give pace back, and somehow do it all while wearing a visor and saying "lovely shot" in a tone that suggests they pity you. The challenge? They give you nothing. You must generate every ounce of pace yourself. Overcook it, and the ball lands in the parking lot. Undercook it, and you've fed them a marshmallow. And they will hit a drop shot so devastating, you'll briefly consider pickleball. How to survive the Slice and Dicer? Real advice, free of charge. Bend your knees like you mean it. Slice balls, stay low. Stand up straight and try to muscle one, and you will hit it into the net, then the net post, then your shin. Shorten your backswing. A huge loopy swing on a slow ball is how you end up in someone's pool. Brush up aggressively. You must generate your own topspin. Low to high, racket face slightly closed, finishing high over the opposite shoulder. Think of it as scooping ice cream. Slow ice cream, the kind you have to work for. Move forward. The slice sits up briefly before it dies. Attack it on the rise, do not let it bounce twice, which is technically a point against you in most rulebooks. Take the angle off. Hit through the middle deep. Trying to thread a winner off a low slow ball is how unforced errors are born. Meet the cannonball people. The hard hitter, by contrast, strikes every ball as if it personally insulted his mother. The good news, he gives you all the pace you need. The bad news, he gives you all the pace you need. How to survive the cannonball people? Shorten everything. Backswing, follow through, expectations. Block and redirect. You don't need to swing. You need to put the racket face in the right place and let physics do the work, the way physics has been begging you to since high school. Step in early. Taking the ball on the rise gives him less time to recover and makes you look like you know what you're doing, which is the entire goal of recreational sports. Aim higher over the net. You don't need to flatten it. He's already flattened it for you. The serve lottery. Serving on longboat is a separate horror. One opponent dishes up a soft pat that arrives at your service box looking apologetic. The next one hits what is technically known as a pancake serve, because it is flat, hot, and lands on your plate before you found a fork. Adjust your stance. Stand closer for the patty cake server. You'll need to generate pace yourself. Stand back and shorten your swing for the cannonball. And watch the toss. The toss tells you everything. Way out in front means flat and fast. Over the head means kick or slice. A toss with a tremor means his rotator cuff has feelings. The first three balls rule. Whatever style you're facing, give yourself three balls to calibrate every match, and after every changeover against a different opponent. Don't try to win the point on ball one. Rally. feel the pace, feel the spin, feel your knees, which at this age have opinions. Pros do this too. They just do it during warm-up, because they are not also trying to remember whether they fed the dog. The mental reset. Between points, breathe. Adjust your strings, even though the strings are fine. Tell yourself a single instruction, low to high, or block and step in, not 17. Tennis is not a multitasking sport, despite what your inner monologue claims. If you are losing 6-0 to a 78-year-old slice artist named Bev, this is normal. Bev has played 6,000 matches against people exactly like you. Bev will be fine. Final thought? The variety isn't going away. Embrace it. Recreational tennis isn't about the consistency of your opponent. It's about the consistency of you. Bend the knees. Shorten the backswing on fast stuff. Brush up on slow stuff. Pick one cue per point. Breathe. And if all else fails, remember, pickleball does not care about your forehand.